You're listening to Humanitarian Radio with your hosts, Tony St. Tone and Janie Beauclair.
Good afternoon and welcome to Humanitarian Radio. This beautiful Sunday afternoon, I am here with host
Tony St. Tone.
And I'm Janie Beauclair, and we're delighted to have you join us today. We have a really exciting show. A lot going on. We've got a couple guests. Scott Barton, who's going to talk about a variety of things happening. And we're going to get some very strong words of wisdom on how to get our New Year's thoughts going. And that's going to be with
Ruth Kramer.
Ruth Kramer. Delighted to have her. How are you doing today? Tony, did you have a nice New Year?
I had a great New Year. I was actually out in Malibu with you.
Out and about, celebrating on the town.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. We hung out with our pal, Billy Cacciatore, who is always a fine entertainer.
Fine entertainer, yes.
Cracks me up.
Yeah. He was definitely fun.
Yeah, definitely fun. I wanted to talk about, you know, we're talking about jumpstarting our New Year's. We've heard a lot of people talking about the do's and don'ts of resolutions. Been all over TV since everybody's off from work and off from school. They've got a lot of things going on television, trying to catch your attention on how to start your resolutions.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed something really cool on ABC, on Good Morning America yesterday. They were talking about how parents are now sending their children, and I mean children, like they showed them age 3 years old and up, to meditation classes before school.
I think that's a great idea.
I thought that was really exciting to see that that's actually becoming a trend. And there's a school in LA where you can bring your kids, and they spend 45 minutes learning and doing a meditation, and then they send them off to school. So I was looking up on the internet, of course, what about meditation? What is it about meditation that gets people going? And why is it so highly recommended? And a lot of people don't meditate, don't know how to meditate, don't know why meditation is important or why they should even do it.
I think a lot of times is people don't understand the clear definition of meditation.
Right.
There's an assumption that you have to sit in an Indian position, light a candle and hum. And that's not exactly it. That is one way of doing it, and that is the classical way of doing it. But meditation could be as simple as having a cup of coffee in the morning and just sitting in a quiet space. Another type of meditation is if you have pets, sitting with your pet and petting them. It quiets the mind.
It's a quiet time.
It's a quiet time for just you to end the chatter and just be in the moment. And when I mean be, it's not sitting there going, what do I have to pick up for dinner tomorrow night? What do I have to do right now? Should I be sitting here right now? Most people don't know how to quiet their mind. And meditation is just a form of quieting the mind to allow yourself the space to just relax.
Yeah.
And that's why they actually put a candle there or the sound of om, because it gives you something to focus on to eliminate any of the other things.
To get you outside of your own head. Because
exactly.
our brains are pretty powerful. And they go nonstop 24/7. Even when we're sleeping, our brains are cranking. So if you have a brain that happens to be pretty active, and you can't quiet your mind on your own so that your brain can take a breath and you can find a spot to be creative, to create your dreams and create the things that you want. Here's some tips on what meditation is and how to create your own meditation program. So inner peace meditation is what this article is called. It's innerpeacemeditation.org. You can literally click on there and get free instructions step by step on how to start meditating if you've never done it before. So that's always cool. But they say on this site, they say, what does meditation do for you? It provides you inner peace, well-being, and brings happiness into your life. If you want to learn how to meditate, they'll give you some instruction. But meditation has been part of various religious traditions for thousands of years because those traditions knew that meditation calms the mind and reduces stress.
Yes.
So this particular group is a bunch of people who have been meditating for 40 years.
Okay.
They have found that meditation makes them happier and more effective at work. And it also helps you to get along better with others. Doctors say that 60% of their doctor visits consist of stress. 60% of the population are going to see a doctor because they're stressed out.
Yes, I could see that.
Scientific research shows and confirms that meditation reduces stress, improves health, and makes people happier.
Mm-hmm.
Scientifically, this isn't just someone going, oh, meditate and put your hands together and go, mm.
No, exactly. I mean, it's been medically proven. I think that's what's really coming back around is that, listen, this stuff works. That's why it's been around for thousands of years.
Throughout history, meditation has been freely handed down from generation to generation through different religious balances. But now they're learning that people who are maybe atheist or not of a specific religious sector that has been practicing meditation, people are now starting to get into it just on their own and seeing a lot of improvement.
That's awesome. I think once you start learning how, and it's not something that is that difficult. It's not like you have to sit and study for 6 months. Like I said earlier, you are already meditating when you sit and clear your mind with a cup of coffee in the morning or pet your favorite animal, your pet.
If, again, you're not making your grocery list, figuring out the kids' schedule and 40 other thousand things that you got to do.
Yeah, stepping outside into the sunlight and grounding yourself, appreciating staring at a tree. I know it sounds crazy and people go like, you know, what are you doing? It's reconnecting yourself with yourself and not the external world. It's going, hey, I'm just going to take a moment to breathe and just relax. And most people feel like they can't allow themselves that pleasure. And it is a pleasure once you actually start to learn how and give yourself permission to do so. It's like, well, I don't have time to do that.
Well, take time because you're going to relieve your body in a tremendous way, which is only going to allow you to be more
productive. Yes.
After the fact, most people, they say you should meditate first thing in the morning to get your day started.
Yes.
And same right there with exercise. You should exercise in the morning if you have the ability to do that. I was telling you, Tony, that my sister and I used to go work out at 5:30 in the morning every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And because that was the only time I had available, but I was going to make sure that in my day, I got to do that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to schedule that in, we had to get up earlier. But guess what? We were so much happier in our day because we took the time to work out and do something for our own selves. And meditation is really no different.
And one little thing that I might like to throw in there is if you did meditate, let's say, first thing in the morning, maybe you do it before you get out of bed. You set the alarm, and we all know that when that alarm goes off, you want to get every moment of sleep that you can. But if you were to play out your day in your mind in the most positive, efficient way,
mm-hmm.
and then started your day, meaning I'm going to get up, I'm going to have a great breakfast, I'm going to be on time to work, everything's going to flow, the meeting's going to go smoothly, the clients that I need to meet with are all going to be in a great mood, and just play it through your mind. And you could do this even on your way to work. You could say mm-hmm. this to yourself, or you can do it before you go to bed. Is play out your day before you actually fall asleep and play that thought in your mind so you're going to bed with this really positive affirmation that's actually putting you in the mood. So meditation can happen at all times, any time.
Even on your way to work or on your way with the kids to school or whatever your schedule is, play some calming music or some music that makes you feel good. Put on some Pharrell Happy or something. You know, if you're normally into heavy rock, maybe shift that up for your morning drive to work.
Why? Heavy rock could actually be something that's really positive for some people. That's what gets them going.
True. But the idea is to bring calmness to you before you enter your workspace.
Right.
Or start your hectic day.
Yeah. Well, the point is whatever makes you happy, go with that flow and get yourself in that mood. So, meditation starting in the school systems, I think, is a great, great thing.
Yeah, really cool thing. And I think that, you know, the more they make people aware of the benefits of meditation and the benefits of structuring yourself a little bit better, I think that the more people start to get aware of that, the more calm people are going to be. Because naturally, if you've got a ton of people starting meditation, then you've got that many more people that are getting centered and getting at peace.
I was going to say also another way of doing this is journaling. And
mm-hmm.
what that means is when you sit down and you start to clear your mind, if you will, have a pen and piece of paper available. And if you start to write down messages that you receive or thoughts that you receive, just write them down. And you'll be amazed by what you read afterwards. Just let your pen flow and just don't question it. It might sound like you're speaking to yourself, but as you do this, these are messages for you, from you. This is your inner guidance. So let that happen for yourself and read it later. Again, you'll be so surprised on what you'll read. I do this often, and I'll go back and read certain things that I've written days or weeks ago, and I go, wow, who wrote that? You know, well, so it's very profound when you actually start to get yourself used to this type of inner conversation.
And if it's hard to get yourself started, there are tons of guided meditation options on the internet. And I mean tons. And what I mean by guided meditation, you can go on there on your phone while you're driving. You can do this at home, on your, you know, in the office, whatever. And you click on one of these, and it will instruct you exactly how to go forward. Close your eyes, sit in this method or that method.
Don't
Here's
close your
the
eyes
music.
While you're driving, though.
Yeah, right. But guided meditations is what they call that. And that's a great way for newbies out there that are wanting to get a feel for what it's like. And they're free. Free guided meditations for an introduction to mindfulness meditation that you can practice on your own.
Yeah, and when you have, what's really interesting too is when you have a guided meditation, it's a great way to start because they actually tell you how to breathe, how to count down from 10, and feeling more relaxed, clearing your mind, relax your shoulders, now relax your waist, and feel this energy flowing through you, and it helps guide you through it. And a lot of times when you don't know how to start, it's a great way to actually get introduced to meditation, and eventually you'll be able to do it on your own.
And let me go one step further. There are guided meditation meetup groups all over the country.
Yeah.
So you could actually go participate in one. They're free. You participate in one, you can get a hands-on understanding or helpful hand if you need, you know, if you're one of those people that needs to see how this works.
Yeah.
They're all over the country. So guided meditations, meetup groups, go for it.
Yeah, meetupgroup.com or just meetup.com, and just punch in your town and punch in meditation. And it's something that's so easy. It doesn't cost anything, and it's probably one of the best things you could ever do for your health.
And one last thing on this subject, free meditation for kids. Joy, oh boy, joyohboy.com. You can get on their free email list. They will send you meditations to do with your children.
Wow, that's really cool.
Beautiful, beautiful.
It's really cool.
So, hey, we're going to have a couple commercials here and thank our sponsors.
And we're going to be right back with Scott Barton.
Stay tuned.
I'm living here in a state of abundance. I'm counting blessings that I never saw before. Because I'm the ruler of this kingdom I call me.
Positive affirmations wrapped in pop rock songs.
Give me that best case scenario.
It's motivational musician Saint Tone.
Stereo.
Check out his latest live show, The Rise Up Experience, at www.sainttone.com.
Mama said we can always hug it out.
Pick up his latest CD, Outside the Box, available on iTunes. For music with a positive message, check out sainttone.com.
Do you have a great idea for a product and you don't know how to get it made? Call Artistic Journey. They'll help you find your way to getting your new products made and into the marketplace. Need a free consultation? No problem. Need artwork and graphics? No problem. Need your idea turned into something wonderful that the whole world can use? Call Janie at Artistic Journey to help you get through this process. It's not as hard as you think. With 20 years of experience, Artistic Journey can pave the way for your product to get into the hands of people around the world. Call Artistic Journey today, 941-780-2538.
Hey, we have Scott Barton on the phone, and he is going to tell us a little bit about an event that is coming up in May. So, hey, Scott, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Did you have a good New Year?
Yeah, it's not my favorite night of the year, so I kind of keep it low-key, quiet. I think about the past year and the things I'd like to change and, you know, sort of meditate on that. And then I get up early in the morning so I can watch the stealth bomber fly over the Rose Parade route from my deck.
Oh, no kidding. So you're that close to the Rose Parade.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of a canyon, but every year I can see whatever aeronautics they've got flying over the parade route, I can watch from my house as it flies over and then circles back. That's kind of my cool New Year's ritual every year.
That is awesome. Have you ever gone to the Rose Parade?
Yeah, I've been 2 or 3 times. I even decorated a float 1 year.
Oh, that must have been a blast. I mean, doesn't that like take 6 months to do or something like that?
Yeah, they work on it all year long, but about the last 2 weeks is when it really starts getting crazy. And they start putting on the stuff that won't die, like seeds and bark, you know, and other stuff that's already dried.
Right.
And then 2 days before is when they start putting on the fresh stuff. My job was actually a very elegant one. I was applying sesame seeds as a pinstripe on an RV for some float that had grandma and grandpa driving in an RV across America. So I did the pinstriping and sesame seeds all the way around this 30-foot long flower bedecked RV.
God.
And it was on my list of things I wanted to do in my lifetime, and it was a great experience. It's amazing to see the detail. That's real artistry that these people do with those floats.
Now, let me ask you, here's a question, and I'm not sure many of us know. It takes 6 months to put all this stuff on. Obviously, it's extremely detail-oriented. And now you're gluing these things on one by one, right?
Well, in a lot of cases, yeah. In my case, it was a little bit more simplistic. All I did was take a giant paintbrush with Elmer's glue and slather it in between the lines, and then take a handful of sesame seeds and just press it into the glue.
Ah, so okay.
It wasn't Michelangelo artistry, but you know, it got the job. But I was watching other people who were applying petals one at a time with tweezers.
Oh my
God! They were doing it on a fish, and there were people at the bottom who were pulling the petals. I think they used orchid petals because they hold up longer. They were pulling the petals off of the orchids and putting them in a box, and they would pass those up to the person that was on the float, and they had done the same kind of thing. They had put a bunch of Elmer's glue on, and then they would take a tweezer and put individual petals and layer it so it looked like the scales of a fish, but one petal at a time, and it's just insane.
I was going to say that definitely sounds insane, and the fact that you're doing all this detail on a vehicle that is going to drive by. So it's not even something that you're going to put a microscope up against. It's something that's driving by at like 3 to 4 miles an hour through a crowd. And what happens to these vehicles after the parade? I mean, do they just keep them decorated for a couple of days, or do they instantly take all that stuff off?
No, they park all of the floats in Pasadena along this one long stretch of road. And for the next 2 or 3 days, people can go by and get up close and see the detail of it.
Oh, they can? Okay.
After about the third day, it starts to not look so great. So they continue it through the holiday weekend. But you can go, and I think it's like $10, and just walk, and you can't really touch them, but you can get as close as possible to them so you can really see the artistry of it. And then when it's done, they go back to the warehouse, they disassemble everything, and then as soon as they announce the theme for the next year, the designs start and it all begins again.
Wow. And you know, you would think you can maybe hold on to some of these and see if you can make them last, but again, they're things that just they're dried out, or they're real flowers, or nothing's, everything has to have a live flower on it, right? Or something that's fresh.
Yeah, everything has got to be an organic compound.
Yes,
everything. Okay. And another one of the amazing things: every rose that you see on the floats, and there are billions of them. Every one of those individual roses comes with its own little tincture of water, because they put it. The judging starts, I think, either today. Yeah, today they're doing the judging. So these things had to be done by this morning. So they've got to last 24 hours. And there's nothing worse than a droopy rosebud.
Oh, God.
Every prom queen knows. So every individual rose on every single float. And other flowers, too, like Gerber daisies and the ones that require a lot of water, all come in their own little tube of water. And those are all hand-placed. It's Herculean, the amount of work that goes into these things. And they're beautiful to look at on television, but they're astonishing if you can see them at the parade or afterwards up close.
Wow. Well, I know that Janie saw them last year, I believe, and I didn't get a chance to see them yet. She went the day after. She didn't go to the parade, but she went the day after to see them, and it was one of her bucket list things to do is to actually see them up close. So maybe this year we'll do it together, but that isn't even the reason why you called. But that's really great information to know, especially since it's happening right here in California, and to know that you can actually get up close and see those, because coming from the East Coast, it's something that you would watch on TV, and that was it. The parade was over, then the event was over. But to know that you can actually go up close and see these for the next 3 days is awesome. But tell us what's going on also. You have an event that you wanted to tell everyone about.
Yeah, we're having the 31st annual Southland Theater Artists Goodwill event. The acronym for that is STAGE. And STAGE is the longest running annual AIDS fundraiser in the world. It began in 1984 as a performance. You know, it was like a Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney movie. And the theater community in the very beginning of the AIDS crisis was really, really hit hard, and nobody knew what was going on or what the disease even was. And a bunch of theater people, David Galligan, and who's been the director for all 31 years, Michael Kearns and James Carroll Pickett, came up with an idea of, let's just put on a show. And they got a bunch of the Broadway people who were in Los Angeles doing shows, and those that live here, and on a Monday night, they put on a show at the Variety Arts Theater in downtown L.A., and at the time, it was a $10 admission or canned food, you know, anything that would help their friends survive, you know, people that had lost their jobs because they were sick and couldn't pay for food.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's how it all began in 1984. And then I heard about it afterwards. I didn't even know about the first one. And then I started working with them in 1985. So this will be my 30th year.
Wow, and so 30 years you've been doing this. That's incredible.
It's my favorite night of the year. I've lost over 100 friends to AIDS, and it's kind of my continuing devotion. It's the coolest night of the year. This year, the theme is from Hollywood to Broadway, from Hollywood with love. And the theme of it that David Galligan came up with is we're going to do numbers this year that were featured in Broadway musicals that originated as Hollywood films. So that's okay. To Broadway from Hollywood with love. For instance, The Matchmaker was a movie that was turned into Hello, Dolly, the Broadway show.
Right.
Which then again was turned into Hello, Dolly, the musical. So that's kind of the conceit of it. Or All About Eve turned into the musical Applause.
That's great. So, Do they change it every year that it's something different? So for 30 years, it's been something different every time, or do they repeat some of them?
No. Well, you know, in the first couple of decades, it highlighted Broadway composers. So we would do a Night of Sondheim, or we would do a Night of Harold Arlen, or Cole Porter. But in 30 years, we've kind of gone through all of that in various permutations. So David, in his infinite creativity, has come up with all these different ideas for it, and that's what this year's idea is. And you know, that it really opens up to a lot of cool stuff. We can do numbers from Beauty and the Beast, because
right.
That started out as an animated feature film, or Aladdin, or Pocahontas. I mean, you can name it. It started as a film. So that there's a vast library of it. But I think David is focusing more on the more classic films that then became features. But the cool thing is we get amazing talent from TV, feature films, and Broadway who come and donate their time. And if you love musical theater or film or musical talent, it's just the best night ever.
That is awesome. Now, where can people see more information about this? I know it's coming in May, and that's going to come up really quick, as everyone knows that days and months fly by these lately. So where can they go to get this information?
The show will be on Saturday, May 9th. At the Saban Theater on Wilshire in Beverly Hills. Curtain time is at 7:30. And if they want to get more information or order tickets, you can go to stagela.com.
And that's S-T-A-G-E-L-A.com.
Yeah. Ticketmaster is also taking orders. But if you want to go see clips from past shows, if you want to see the cast lineups from the past years, it's a great site that APLA helped us put together that shows the history of stage, and there's great clips from the last few years. You can see the talent and the production values, and you can even order tickets there.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for bringing this announcement to everyone to start the new year, and I'm sure that we're going to check back with you as we get closer to the date, but just the fact that you've been doing it for 30 years, obviously it's something that is extremely popular, and it definitely is supporting a great cause. So I applaud you for being involved and sharing this wealth of news with us. And it just sounds like an exciting night.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You're very welcome. We will talk to you soon again.
I'm looking forward to it. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Scott. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
So we're going to go to commercial real quick, but next coming up, don't go away, because we have the fabulous Ruth Kramer coming on. Ruth's been on our show a few times before, and she's always full of wisdom and great things to share with us, and this time's going to be no different. She's going to give us ways to jumpstart our resolutions, if you will, and get our year going off in a really great way. So thank these sponsors, and we'll be right back with Ruth Kramer.
Gilman Amps, we create the tone in your head. Custom-built guitar and bass tube amplifiers.
Hey everybody, this is David Gilman from Gilman Amps. If you need any repairs, modifications, or restorations of your vintage or modern tube equipment, as well as custom builds, I'd love to hear from you.
For more information, check out their website, GilmanAmps.com, and Facebook /GilmanAmps. We create the tone in your head. So listen up, if you're on the market for a graphic designer, you know, someone who can create logos, websites, etc., along with radio ads and video, well, there's no need to look any further than ST Productions. It's your one-stop shop for all your graphic, audio, and video needs. ST Productions will get it done while saving you money and having fun. So keep them in mind, ST Productions, an audio, video, graphic design service.
So we are back, and we have International Angel Card Reader, Miss Ruth Kramer. How are you today, Ruth? We're so happy to have you here with us.
Oh, all the more better for being here, if that was proper English, which it probably wasn't. My mom would cringe.
Nah, she's fine. You did well. So we were talking about getting some insight on how to kickstart our new year and get our head in the right place. And this is why we wanted to bring you on today, because you are very good at making us aware of things we can do to start our year off better.
Okay. I would love to help everybody do that, and even myself, because I'll listen to what I'm telling you.
Perfect.
I like to listen sometimes as well, because like, oh, that was brilliant. Where did that come from?
What'd I say?
Okay, so there's all this talk for years about New Year's resolution. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to change the verbiage of that. Let's not call it New Year's resolution, because resolution feels like something that can be broken.
Okay.
Whereas if we call it a a decision for and steps for strategy, steps to what steps are we taking to walk towards our dreams.
Beautiful.
So we can call it, you know, awakened dream walking.
Awakened dream walking. I like it.
Yes. Me too. It sounds fun, doesn't it? It's like, okay, you're walking towards your dreams, and that's what we're all supposed to be doing this year, especially this year. It's 2015, the numbers add up to 8, number of infinity. If you take an 8 and you move it sideways, it's the shape of infinity, like the Mobius strip, which means there's no beginning and there's no end. So although it began officially in our calendars on January 1st, we're still very early in the stages of, even if somebody says, well, I meant to diet, but I fell off the wagon. It's like, no, don't let go. You didn't fall off the wagon. You just took a little detour. Let's get back on track.
Right. And isn't the 8 also a significant number in numerology of balance also?
Yes. And it's futuristic as well. It's like taking your dreams to the moon and beyond. But yes, it's about balance, because infinity is about that too. Because the eight is two. It's like, you know, everything comes in twos. We often pair up in our society because we are often better as twosomes than we are single. And that can mean in partnerships, in work, you know, when two or more are gathered. It's been there since time began, that we were always told that when two or more are gathered, there's a powerful feeling in numbers. That doesn't mean partnerships and marriages in relationship with loved ones. It could mean partnerships and marriages in business, in friendship, in working together, in teamwork, in what we're doing right now. You know, there's
right.
two of you who are extraordinary, and when there's two or more, and here we are in that magical, sacred three people together with the same goal, which is to touch lives, reach people, make a difference in the world. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yes, I totally agree. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. So as we move forward into 2015, your affirmation would be for people that are setting goals for themselves, is to start charting it out and writing out a game plan, or writing out something that they feel they can achieve in little steps month to month.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, I would do both. So here's some things that have not only worked for me, but have worked for clients over the period of years.
Okay.
Even children, to be honest. So think about a kid, right? So a kid goes to school, and they get to their school on Monday morning, especially in middle school and high school, when they get a little bit older and a little bit more balanced in their educational structure.
Mm-hmm.
And they get given a timetable. That timetable says at 9 o'clock in the morning, you're doing English, and at 10 o'clock, maybe you're doing history.
Right.
11 o'clock, maybe you're doing science. And then at 12 noon, you've got lunch. And then at 1 o'clock, you've got, you know, so right up until 2:30 or 3 o'clock, their day is completely charted out.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. And the reason it works is because that kid knows it's a structure. And we do better generally as a society if our day and our lives are somewhat structured. And what happens is we forget to create a structure around our dreams and our hopes and our wishes. And then we take off and we go to work and we earn money, and somebody else has created a structure for us, just like as a school kid to some degree. Might be one of the issues with schools is that we aren't as progressive as we'd like to be. That's a whole other subject. But there's many of us that are really creative beings, and it'd be quite nice to take a look at who has structured our life for us, or who have we allowed to structure our life, and perhaps there are areas that we're not happy about, and how can we change that and start to structure it for ourselves?
Right,
What can we do to make our own, design our own lives?
Now, it's really interesting how you brought that around from a child's perspective of going to classes every day and being structured, and then them flowing into the workspace and still having a structure, and yet it is always someone else setting up that structure, either the boss or the company or the school.
Mm-hmm.
And very rarely, like you said, do we actually take the time to do that for ourselves. And those that do take that time, so let's say hypothetically the person wants to learn an instrument or be an athlete. Well, after their structured day of school, they go and practice for X amount of hours every day. And that could be something that they enjoy, or playing an instrument and they have to practice to learn their instrument better. I think when we apply those things towards the goals that we want. So if you want to travel this summer in June, you need to know, well, how much money do I need to save to go to Fiji? Well, it's going to be X amount. So how much money is that per month? And what can I do every day or every week to put this amount of money aside to earn that money to go to Fiji in June? And now it's a realistic goal, because
you've broken it down. You understand it better.
You've broken it down to simple things instead of just going, ah, Fiji, that'd be really cool someday. Well, whatever. And just push it aside and go back to living everyone else's structural
dreams
or structural days plan. For us. Mm-hmm. You know? Interesting.
Yeah. Well, because sometimes we have to do things sometimes we just have to do things that we simply have to do. You know? I mean, haven't you ever sat on a plane or sat in a car or sat in a restaurant and someone says, yeah, you know, I'm an attorney or I'm a businessman, or I've got a job in healthcare, and I get all the benefits, and my money's really good. Kind of hate it, sort of don't love what I do.
Yes.
I can't leave because it's really, you know, what am I going to do? I'm really paying my bills and taking care of life. You go, okay, so what about before, even during and after that workday? What can you do to integrate your dreams during, start to weave your dreams into your day, so that instead of hating what you do, you start to love aspects of your day, and it takes that dislike away.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe lunchtime, instead of, you know, somebody says, well, I've never got time to work out. Well, do you get a lunch hour? Yes. What do you do during it? I eat lunch. Okay. What about if you ate something quicker and simpler, and ran off and went to the gym, or went for a walk along the beach, if that's where you live, or took a walk around the mall, or,
right,
you know, or got some of your errands done, but got them done in a way where you were working out at the same time. You know, what happens when we start to put our dreams into our daily life practice,
mm-hmm,
is we aren't owned by the world anymore. We're starting to take back the power of our lives.
Right, right. Mm. And it's easy to do. I mean, it's easy to take back your power. It definitely is, but you have to make the effort to do it. It doesn't just happen all on its own. You have to recognize what you need to do and take the steps to move in that direction.
I think acknowledgement is best first. I mean, just you explaining it in this way, I mean, you've got my wheels spinning, and it's really interesting because I work for myself, and so does Janie. And us setting up our own structure could definitely help, because those that work for themselves don't necessarily punch in at a certain time and punch out at a certain time. So they might work from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m.
mm-hmm,
and not realize they just put in a 12-hour day, where any other job would say, no, you have to take a break here, and 8 hours is what you did. Now you're in overtime, and knowing how to let go and go, okay, I got to walk away from this. It's 9 o'clock. I don't need to be here 12 hours a day working on this.
Yeah. Maybe you do need to be there 12 hours a day working on something. But what about if right in the middle of the day you say, I'm going to put in a 12-hour day today, and I know I am, but I'm not giving myself enough time to exercise, or
right,
I'm not giving myself enough time to go play, or, you know, so you write out a schedule on a Sunday night. You say, okay, I'm willing to move this schedule around. I'm willing to change the timetable, especially if you're in business for yourself.
Right.
It's not like there's a science teacher waiting in classroom 3A for you.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe on Tuesday you've scheduled yourself to go have lunch with a friend, but you've told them you've got to keep it flexible because it might end up being Friday. Or you're going to go work out twice a week, and you decide you don't know necessarily which days that workout is going to happen, but you know you're going to. And so you just start to schedule it in. And what happens is you start to feel better about yourself, because now you're doing things you want to do and not just things you feel you have to do. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many people over the years have told me how they have to do this or they have to do that, and there's no time to do what they want. And we've all got the same 24 hours in a day. That's the one thing we all have in common. And the one thing that really effective and happy people do is that in the course of every single day, they structure something that brings them the greatest joy.
Work less, play more.
Or at least give some time to play. At least some time to play.
Yeah, because we're kids. We're still kids. And, you know, I think what's wrong in our society quite often is we've forgotten to be a kid. And, you know, at the moment, I'm living right by the beach. And so you can go out any time of day and someone's rollerblading, someone's riding a bike,
right,
someone's walking, someone is being a kid. And yeah, I'm telling you, all different ages, from kids to somebody with grey hair that looks like they can barely walk but just want a pair of rollerblades, and they're all over the place. They're brilliant. It's fabulous. You know, I saw an old wrinkly guy, and he was rollerblading like he was going down the mountain on skis. He looked scary. I thought he was going to take up the whole sidewalk and move everybody out of the way. It was fabulous. He was all wrinkly. It looked like he needed a good iron.
That's
really cool.
That's an interesting visual for radio. He was all wrinkly and he looked like he needed an iron.
I like it.
Yeah, my mom would have got her riding board.
But the point is, he was still out there. He was still out there doing his thing.
Yes, but the whole point is that he was definitely up there in years, or he looked really bad for his age, one of the two. And he was out there doing something that made him smile. That guy was happy. He had his music on his ears. He was sailing away on his rollerblades. He could probably rollerblade better than he could walk. He probably got off those damn things and walked about with a cane or something.
Mm-hmm.
But he was proving to himself that he could still be playful at any age. And yeah, I think we easily forget that, and people get caught up in, you know, work, and I'm worried about this, and I'm worried about that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my God, really? Is that how you're going to spend right now? Is worrying, or you can enjoy right now. So
pick your choice. Decision. Yeah, it's your option. Which way do you want to face it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I would definitely encourage anybody that's listening to this to take a look at how often you're playing, because the more you move into joy, the more that your life will start to match the energy of that, because it's all energetic. So if we're having more fun, then the universe starts to serve up more things to give us fun. If we're miserable and hate our job, the more that we hate it, the more that we're miserable, the universe will keep serving up that energy that we're standing around in. You know, if you stand around in mud,
mm-hmm,
and you really, you know, get stuck in it, it's kind of hard to extract yourself. But if somebody throws a load of warm, delicious water all over you, then suddenly the mud becomes this like beautiful bath, and you can just move around in it, and now we've got warm water and mud, and it suddenly becomes a playful experience. It's also our perception of how we're living our life, because if this was your opportunity to live, you wouldn't want to waste it moaning about it. You'd want to use it and enjoy it.
Right. Make the best of it. Make the most of it. When people say make the most of every day, it's definitely your choice how much of your day you're making the most of.
Yes, but you know, people say it, mm-hmm, and then they don't do it.
They give it lip service, don't they?
Yes, lots of people say, yeah, I'm making the most of every day, and then you get into a conversation with them, they tell you about all the things that are wrong with their life.
Yeah, that they're not doing.
How are you making the most of every day if our conversation looks like this?
Yeah.
Well, I think that, and again, I think most people have the idea, but they don't really, really,
really
listen or take action and go, you just said it. It's like, you know, someone could say, oh, you get what you focus on. Yeah, I've heard that. And they just dismiss it. They go, oh, yeah, I've heard that for years. You get what you focus on. And I go, really listen to what you're saying. You get what you focus on. So the more you complain about the guy that just cut you off, the more you're going to get another person who's going to cut you off, because on a highway, you're going to keep calling all the people that that are frustrating to you towards yourself like a magnet. But if you just let that guy go and you're smiling and you're in your happy mood, the more you're in a happy mood and you're just flowing with the traffic, because you're surrounded more by people that are in a happy mood. You know, that's my analogy of it and visual of it, if you will.
It's funny, you know, this morning there was these two guys stopped at a traffic light, and it's a beautiful, beautiful day in Southern California, right? Just like, wow, look at the weather. We've got blue skies, it's totally delightful out here. And there's these two guys, and they're standing in the road, and one of them had obviously upset the other. I don't know if he cut him off or what he did, because we don't always have the most polite drivers in our world at the moment. So one guy got out of his truck in the middle of the main highway there, or main road, and he was standing there, and they're both cussing and effing and shouting and, you know, and really chewing each other out. Meanwhile, there's a whole line of traffic. They're all stuck in their argument because they can't move because these two guys
sitting
on a traffic light and not moving. And there was no resolution because one was deciding that he was right and maybe he was, and the other was deciding that he was not right and maybe he wasn't. But, you know, you get to the point where you go, really, why does this matter?
Yeah.
What are we going to accomplish here? What's going to actually occur here? So we know that what's going to occur is one person's going to chew the other one out, the other one's going to chew him out right back. And everybody gets in their truck and they're all upset probably for the whole day.
Yep.
Meanwhile, there's a whole line of traffic that are stuck in their argument too.
Right.
And nobody can move past them. And it's sort of like one of those things where you go, okay, so this is the day that you're creating. Really?
Yeah.
So what? If someone cut you off, even if they did a horrible job and they really cut you off, it's the moment and it's gone by.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe they needed to be in front of you. Maybe they're in front of you because they've got a wife about to give birth in the hospital or a mother who's got a few minutes to live.
Right.
And they cut you off because they've got 5 minutes. So maybe you just gave that person an opportunity to spend his last moments with somebody he really loves. So what if you have to give an inch
right
to let somebody have those special moments? We really need to lighten up and give each other a bit more room to experience our best.
Give each other a break.
Unnecessary. Yeah, give each other a break, for God's sake. You know, I so wanted to go over to these two guys and say, you're both beautiful. It's the brand new year. We've got a chance to start all over. Tell each other that you both did wrong and you're both sorry. Let's just, you know, get in our
move on. Yeah.
You guys have got trucks. You've got clothes on your back. It's breakfast time. You've got a whole day ahead of you. Whatever's wrong, it's not that important. It's just not that important.
Well said.
You know, But if I'd have gone in the middle of them, I might have ended up with a black eye.
And you're not the tallest girl.
I did what we all do. I didn't jump in, but I really, really, really wanted to. And at some point, I'd like to be in a world where we all do that, where we all jump in and go,
hey,
beautiful. You're both driving great trucks. You're both extraordinary people.
Yeah.
Nobody's that bad, nobody's that wrong, whatever it was, we can all do better. Apologize, shake hands, tell each other that you're fabulous, that we wish you the best day and a great year, and let's just move forward and let's go away with a huge smile on our face.
But let me just add to that real quick that energetically you could have sent that to them, and you could have sent them that love and sent them that compassion to help them resolve their issues by sending them love, as opposed to getting caught up going, what are these two guys doing? I can't believe this. And getting frustrated. Now you're adding to their anger. And that's how it starts to get even bigger. And everyone behind you is getting more frustrated. Where someone else behind you just could be, it's okay. Look at how beautiful the sky is, actually. And they start looking around and appreciating everything around and while sitting in that traffic spot. So it's, you can't control the world, but you can control how you react to the world.
Right.
So,
yes, that's true. Because what would they have done if someone like you, Tony, got out of your car behind them, hung your guitar around your neck and start singing to them? And told them how lovely they were and what beautiful day and aren't we lucky to be where we are
then,
and look at your truck.
Then, Ruth, you would have gotten out. Then I would have gotten out. Then David would have gotten out. We would have all been hugging all over those two guys.
Singing, dancing, loving on them. It would have been really cool.
We could have sang Kumbaya.
Oh my God, you guys are spiritual. That really is weird, but okay. You've got such a good love that. Yeah.
I'll sing the Beatles. We can work it out. Try to see it my way. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. Happy music, happy life. And yes, it's all about making harmony and making love, not war with each other.
Totally. Be a good human. It's what it boils down to. So Ruth,
yeah, be your best.
We want to thank you so much for giving everybody a nice shot in the arm and say, hey, guys, change the way you're viewing things and you can exactly change how your day goes, how your year goes. And and do something to help project yourself into the dream that you want to be in
and
by
structure it.
Making yourself a schedule, if you will.
Yeah, structure your happiness into your daily life and break down your goals into bite-sized pieces so that way you can slowly achieve it, but you'll consistently be able to watch yourself achieving it.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and if you're going to go for lunch, sit under a tree. Go for lunch and sit somewhere beautiful. Don't get stuck. You know, a lot of times people are stuck indoors in the wintertime, and they go from one indoors to another indoors. Spend some time in nature. Go find a place where it's warm and you can look out on gorgeous, you know, somewhere that's just beautiful.
Yeah, look at life.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we certainly look forward to your words of wisdom over the next few months, and you have a very exciting project coming up that we can't wait to tell everybody about, and we all send you our blessings and wish you so much success with that project, and when it's time to make the announcement, we'll definitely have you on and blast that out to the world.
Fabulous. I look forward to it.
Love you so much, honey. Have a great day.
Thank you. Happy New Year, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So if you want to have your own private session with Ruth Kramer, you can find her at holisticsoulhealer.com. And I got to say that if you're in a state of confusion, if you're trying to figure out what your direction is, it's always a really good idea to have a one-on-one with someone who can kind of put you in the right direction and get you going. So holisticsoulhealer.com, Ruth Kramer, as usual, we thank her very much for her words of wisdom to help us get jump started in our 2015.
So every week we like to dedicate a song to our guest. And this week we'd like to dedicate the song Daydreamer for those of you that do have a dream that you are trying to pursue for 2015. Think about it often, put it into your schedule, and make it happen. This is Daydreamer by Saint Tone.
Stars are falling in the night, a flashing light through the sky now. Sky now. dream I'm living. Daydream.
Find that track at www.sainttone.com. That's SAINTTONE.com. Check us out on Facebook. And while you're on Facebook, check out Humanitarian Radio. Like us. Send us an email. Let us know if there's someone out there in the world that's doing some great things that we should know about so we can help spread the news.
Do something really awesome for a complete stranger. Just give them a smile when you walk by. You can't even imagine how that can change the day of somebody who's having a bad day. Thank you so much for listening to us today, and have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next week. Peace out.
Humanitarian Radio, shouting out some good news for your soul.